This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean silly? I mean that's real news.
Deshaun Watson will start for the Cleveland Browns in their preseason opener against the Bears on Saturday. However, Shedeur Sanders will start the team's second preseason game at home against the Buffalo Bills on August 22nd, according to Cleveland Browns head coach Tom Monken. They've been alternating first-team practice reps in Cleveland's quarterback competition. Saturday's game is going to be Watson's first game since he tore his right Achilles tendon. That was all the way back in October of 2024. That guy has had a weird career. Obviously, the messy legal stuff. And then he just couldn't stay healthy. He sat out the entire 25 season after undergoing a second Achilles surgery in January. So this is going to be the first time in a while we've seen Deshaun Watson after everything that's happened to this guy.
Dear Denver media, an Achilles is something to look into.
That's an injury.
Just a little injured ankle that got surgically repaired.
That's a wound, as Daniel Day-Lewis would say, as Bill the Butcher. In Gangs of New York, Michael, the greatest movie that ever existed.
No.
Russell Westbrook announces... Yes. Russell Westbrook announces NBA retirement after 18 seasons. The guy's currently the triple-double leader. I would imagine Joker passes him up this upcoming season. But 18 seasons for Russell Westbrook. I have always had an interesting fanship with Russell Westbrook. When he was with the Thunder, I hated him, but I loved to hate him. You know, I don't know why, but the stuff that sticks out with the Nuggets is messing with Rocky. Rocky would be trying to make shots and do crazy things, and Westbrook would always try to block them and just have fun. I just remember that. He could be, like, snippy with the media at times. I'll never forget when I went down to Denver Nuggets training camp to start of the season 2 years ago. I cracked up laughing because he's sitting there. He's on his phone. He's at the podium, he's on his phone, and he's, like, intense about something. He's texting, doing something, blah, blah, blah. Like, 45 seconds goes by, and then finally he looks up and goes, sorry, here we go.
Because his game of gumbo
He could be texting somebody, who knows, but a really great career for him. Definitely, like, a Hall of Fame in basketball is weird because there's no NBA Hall of Fame. I think that's ridiculous. They just have a basketball Hall of Fame. But Westbrook is definitely a Hall of Famer, played for the Thunder, drafted by your Seattle Supersonics, and then they made the transition to be the Thunder.
Yeah, are the Supersonics going to be a thing?
I don't know. I think Vegas is going to get that before Seattle, but we'll see.
Boo.
He ultimately gets traded, too, by the Thunder. I know that was a sad day for Thunder fans. Goes to Houston for a season. Then he played for Washington. Then things started to go south, honestly, for Russell Westbrook when he went to the Lakers. It didn't seem like he had a great relationship with LeBron. So he played a couple seasons for the Lakers, then the Clippers, then, of course, played for the Nuggets. And I was a big fan of that move. I was happy about that move. Glad it worked out. Did it work out, you know, his time with Denver? Hell of a defensive player. Always aggressive. I don't care if they're down 20 or they're up 20. The guy's never giving up. I loved that about his attitude and the way he played. Shooting was a struggle for him later in his career, certainly. But he could get to the rim like no other. Decision making at times was always kind of a little interesting. And then he finished his career with the Kings. Did have a couple of offers I'm seeing. The Kings were interested in bringing him back, and I think Washington was interested in bringing him back because he spent time with them in the 2021 season. But he just chose to call it quits. I mean, 18 seasons. Faith says he was a great sports personality. Yes. I say this in a positive way, but there are caricatures in sports, Mike, that just stand out because of how they are, not just their play, but their personality. And he was one of those guys. Russell Westbrook is going to go down as a great NBA player. He was an MVP. He's currently leading in triple-doubles. And he just had a fire that not a lot of players have. I mean, I get people all the time saying, I don't like the NBA. You're one of them. Oh, they don't play defense. Russell Westbrook is one of those guys that defense, he took pride in that. He took pride in that. He played hard every single night. And hell of a player. Never got a title, came close, but can you believe that? That Thunder team with James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Kevin Durant never got a title. And Russ is one of those guys, though, that I think you're going to look at one of those great players that never got a big championship. And I was glad he spent time with the Nuggets, no question. I signed off on that move. I'd take him today. Derbs and I were joking, like, can we put it in his contract? We take him today, but you can't shoot. Like, no long-distance shooting for you. Like, that would be the thing. No, great player. All right, Mike, here we go. This one. WNBA Task Force discusses transgender athletes amid controversy. In recent weeks, we know demonstrators have been staging at rallies and we got coaches talking about it. We got coaches wearing shirts. We got fans wearing shirts. We got owners of teams going after people wearing shirts. Here's what happened. Today's meeting covered a wide range of topics, including ongoing discussions on transgender athletes and the continued hate and vitriol directed at players online. We will continue to engage all league stakeholders in the coming weeks and months. We will approach these important conversations thoughtfully and in alignment with the values of our league. There are no immediate eligibility matters affecting the WNBA, and we strongly denounce the bad faith efforts to use these topics to demean or marginalize others, obviously talking about Royce White and Enes Kanter Freedom for what they're doing as far as trying to get drafted into the NBA. I think Royce is really going in on this, wearing wigs and all this stuff. Guys, it's not that complicated. And I know the WNBA has fans from all walks of life. And they are trying not to piss off those in the transgender community and those that 100% support the idea of the transgender community being able to make a transition and play in a league that they were not born into play. It's a sideshow, guys. I know this is a political hot button. I get it. But it's not that hard. If you are a man and you transition to be a woman, you should not play in the WNBA. That does not mean we don't support that community. That does not mean we don't appreciate their journey, what have you. But it's not that difficult. And again, what Royce White and Enes Kanter Freedom are doing, yes, they are making a mockery of this. They are making this more of a joke. I'm not saying it's something I would do. But until you put your foot down and just simply state that only women that are born women can play in this sport, this is what you're going to invite. This is the first of many. I truly believe, and I know there are those on the other side of this argument that say, this is not affecting these pro leagues, Brady. Why are we making this such an issue? Because the issue was brought up. Sophie Cunningham brings this thing, I think, to light. I'm not sure how it came up, but she brought it to light. Agree with her or disagree with her, saying she doesn't agree. There are transgender athletes that did transition and now are playing in a sport that they were not born into being able to play, correct? We know that has happened with the swimmer. That's one. And in my opinion, that is one too many. It's not right. It's not fair. And if the WNBA is going to disallow these two guys from playing in their sport who are now, we all know, like I said, we bring the logic to this show. They're claiming they are both female. We know that in their minds, they do not believe they are female. They are messing with this system. But there is a part of me that thinks, yes, this is just ridiculous. Okay. But the other part of me says, well, if you have a league that is just so lost lost in their political views that they can't state who's eligible to play, and they have to have a special task force. The hell are we doing? We have a task force to sit down and actually spend more than 5 seconds on who's able to play in this league. It's a no-brainer, guys. And this shouldn't be controversial. Do you think, let's just pretend that Enos Kanter Freedom truly believes he's a female. Okay? Let's just pretend. Go with me on this walk, because there will be people of his size and stature that will claim, that will say, I'm going through a transition. It's actually happening. Should those individuals be able to play in a women-only sport? And if your answer is yes, I think you're wrong. I'm just saying you are wrong. Sports is a right. Sports is for everybody. No, it's not. If you are a male and you want to try playing professional basketball, go for it. Try out. Make teams. Awesome. Good for you. But if you decide that you want to make a transition and then become a woman, sorry, but women leagues are off limits to you. And I truly believe that. And I'm just not sure. I'm willing to listen. I'm always willing to listen, Michael. But I keep seeing all this stuff like sports is for everyone. Yes, no one's saying they can't play sports. Go play sports. Go play pickup basketball. Go try out for a men's team. You are a man. Go try out. Go play sports. Meet up with the gang and go play basketball somewhere. But this is the WNBA, the Women's National Basketball Association. And if it's just, to me, it's as simple as saying, if you were born a woman, you are eligible to play. In their bylines or their guidelines, it says something along the lines, is for women. Now, obviously, there is no language that states whether or not you were born a woman or you are now identifying as a woman. That is a world I don't necessarily understand, but I understand the sports world and I understand women's leagues. And I've said this a million times before, it's not sexist. The strongest man in the world is a lot stronger than the strongest woman in the world. The fastest man in the world is a lot faster than the fastest woman in the world. That's just the way it is. And if you disagree with me, that's just not logical.
Do you remember the hashtag MeToo movement?
Yes.
When they got rid of a bunch of like really bad guys? They're now doing the exact opposite. It's like finally women are like got rid of some bad guys. Now let's just ignore women.
Well, and again, there are those saying like Kanter Freedom and this Royce White, they are making a mockery of it. Don't kid. Yes, they are. But don't kid yourself. Tell me right now, Michael, look at me in my face. Do you believe that men that size have transitioned to become a woman? Yes or no?
No.
Men, you don't think so? You don't think they've actually transitioned to become a woman?
The guys who are joining the WNBA?
Not those two gentlemen, but in our world, has there been a man of that size that has said, I identify as a woman and I'm going through all the stuff now? Do you believe that's happening in this country?
Yeah,
yes.
I know of two trans women who are taller than
and
me.
Big.
And
yes.
Taller than you.
Yes. So that's happening. Do you think, let's just say that person you know is really fast and really strong and just happens to be really good at basketball. My question to you, that is happening. Even though Kanter and Royce White, I don't believe they actually, no, absolutely not. They don't believe this. But if you're willing to admit that there are people of that size that have made a transition, technically they could say, I want to play in the WNBA. Do you think that's right? It is not right. Should a 7-foot male be able to say, I have now become a woman. And maybe you didn't go through all of it, but you're saying I identify as that, because that's as simple as it is these days. It's just to say, no, I identify as a woman. So then technically the WNBA should allow them to be drafted. It's not that hard. WNBA, your task force needs to get together and simply say, if you were not born a woman, you are not eligible for the WNBA. We still support that community, do all your political stuff, and if people don't like it, you say tough. You say tough. Because if we're teasing it now, in 2026, this could become a reality. You remember, it used to be the Simpsons made episodes that of things that actually happened like 5, 10, 20 years down the road. South Park is right on par. Do you remember the Macho Man Randy Savage episode?
Even before that, when
Macho
guy,
Man,
who's the guy with the green hat?
I don't know. Macho Man Randy Savage he's not winning in his lifting competitions anymore. So he says, I want to still compete and I want to dominate. So I am going to identify as a woman and I'm going to go into the Women's Olympics or something like that. I don't remember. But the episode is crazy. It's ludicrous. It's out of control.
Yeah, he's very buff and he just runs faster and beats up all the women.
Still has a beard. There's clearly no type of transition that happened.
I'm glad now that I'm a woman.
Yes. It sounded ridiculous when it happened.
Well, the first time they did a story like this was in like season 9, where, you know, Kyle wants to be. He transitions to a black person, and then his dad transitions into
dolphin.
Being a dolphin.
Yes.
Crazy. We've been seeing this for a while now, and now, now the last 5 years, it's really become a problem.
Texts are coming in. Smitty, you either respect Title IX and its protection of equal opportunity for women and girls, or you do not. Thank you for standing up for women. Yeah, I mean, I stand up for logic, man. I stand up for logic. The women's Olympic 100-meter record has been broken by over 600 high school boys. And I don't have that information in front of me, so I'm going to trust you on that, Smitty. But that is the reality of the situation. Now, that's not me saying I'm better athletically than top-notch or even medium-notch, average-notch, whatever I am, women athletes. I'm saying the best of the best versus the best of the best. The best of the men versus the best of the women in certain sports, not everything, but lifting. The record for the man is much higher than the record for the woman. It's not that difficult. Speed, lifting, that kind of thing. It's not that tough. That's not me saying one is better than the other, one is smarter than the other. The facts are the strongest male, fastest male, is stronger and faster than the strongest, fastest female.
Yeah.
That is as simple as I can say this. Big Hub says, now is the NCAA a part of this or just the NBA? I don't know. Smitty bringing that up too. Is the NCAA kind of fighting against this too? Are they not willing to come out and say who should be eligible for their sports?
I don't know if the NCAA has done it. I thought the Olympics banned trans people.
They did. There was that boxer that had some weird stuff going on. In college, we had the San Jose State volleyball player, and that was a big hot button topic, and I tweeted this out, and I got a bunch of flack, and I just said, hey, it's pretty simple to me. Were you born a male or a female? And apparently this volleyball player somewhere in between, I don't know the science of it, Mike. I'm going to pull a WNBA Fever head coach and say I'm not educated enough on the topic. I'm certainly not educated enough as far as internally what's happening. But I know that a person that is more of a male should not be playing in a female sport. That doesn't mean they shouldn't exist. That shouldn't mean they shouldn't have the same rights and having a wonderful life. All of that. But it shouldn't mean that I can make a transition to being a woman and go try to play on a women's league. And I wouldn't make it. But it doesn't mean I should be able to.
It's discriminating against women. Again, like we got rid of a bunch of bad guys, and now let's ignore women again?
That's ridiculous. I don't know. It's an interesting topic. It's not one I thought I would ever talk about on a sports talk radio show, but here we are.
We're forced to.
Well, I'll be honest. Like, we're forced to. It's a topic. It's a sports topic. It's interesting to me how interesting they're making it. Like, it shouldn't be a topic, but it is a topic.
Brady, How free are you tonight?
Why?
There are two WNBA games on Amazon.
Oh, you're going to watch?
And I'm planning on watching the second one, which starts about 8 o'clock.
Who's playing?
It is the I Don't Know versus the I Don't Know.
I don't
recognize their logo.
Yes, you should watch it. You should watch it and report back on the show. Tell me what you think.
Yeah, I'm just like, I don't know. I see highlights, and it's like there are only a couple of those players that, you know, have actual fundamentals, where a lot of them are just tall.
I don't know. I don't really watch the games, so I try to be careful here and not speak on the game itself. I just know what is out in the world, and it's not as Stephanie, what's the head coach for the Fever? It's not what she says. The online community, it's not the online community. You have Stephen A. Smith railing on this topic on ESPN on a regular basis.
And ESPN is quite, they're pretty, I don't want to say pretty far to the left, but they have some leftist views. If this guy...
Correct.
I mean...
Yes. It's a hot button topic, and it's not just an online community. That Fever coach is delusional. She is absolutely delusional.
I wonder if she has to have certain talking points. Like, I wonder if there's a directive from the top that says, you cannot say this or believe this.
Nothing happened to Sophie Cunningham. I mean, nothing happened to her. They're not suspending her. They're not talking to her. She's still vocal about it, and she should be able to be. Now, if you're against what she has to say, okay, it's free country. But it is the WNBA. And if you do not take this seriously, even though you got two goofballs saying they're women, that is the start of this. You're going to have someone do this.
If you really want to settle the debate, allow these guys to join the WNBA. And if the women are better than them, good. If the men are better than the women, well, then we know what's real.
I did not know that, Smitty. Lisa Salters and Indiana Fever head coach Stephanie White are apparently a couple. Okay, I didn't know that. Lisa Salters didn't know who Nikola Jokic was after being one of the only media members in the bubble. And the Nuggets made it to the Western Conference Finals that year. And she said the following year she didn't really watch him play much. Yet she was one of the only reporters allowed in the bubble. And the Nuggets were one of four teams left in the bubble. She said she didn't watch Joker play.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there.
As soon as she says that, you can officially ignore her as a journalist.
Yeah, if you want to say, oh, my beat is not the Nuggets, well, you were one of the only reporters allowed in the bubble.
And so watch every game.
So you watch every game, especially watch the conference finals.
She's just watching the Lakers.
The Lakers played the Nuggets.
She forgot about those games.
She forgot about the 7-foot Serbian dude. She wasn't paying much attention to him. It's kind of like Stephanie White. She didn't see the play that Sophie Cunningham got freaking clotheslined and knocked down. She didn't see that play. What was she watching? Maybe she was watching Seinfeld. I don't know. Maybe she had it on her phone.
Yeah. I mean, Seinfeld's a great show, but if you're a journalist, watch the games. I feel like, unfortunately, and sports and politics have been hand in hand in some ways for a very long time. But guys, this is not the hill to die.
It shouldn't even be political. Faye says Mystics and Aces play at 8 o'clock tonight, Mike. So that's what you'll be doing tonight.
That's what I will be doing unless
Good
I forget
for
and I'm watching season 4 of Reacher, also on Amazon.
You should watch it. I'd be curious. That'd be good for you.
Should I keep track of the bricks?
Just watch it with an open mind.
Brick.
Just open it. Just watch it with an open mind. And I want you to come back and report back to me. Could be good. What do you mean bricks? Like, they make a lot of shots. There's some talented players.
They make a lot of shots, but like, there are some people that cannot. They shoot as
bad
as me.
One of those greats, Russell Westbrook, had a lot of bricks too. So it happens. It's basketball. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, Mike.
And no one gives me the ball because I would miss 100% of the shots that I do take.
You probably would. I think that's a fair assessment. 29 minutes after the hour. Okay, we got to get to this LSU story. Jaden Daniels, man. All right, we'll get to that. How about we do that on the other side, Mike? You took us way over in this one. It's
my
a whole
bad.
Show presented by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We'll be right back.
Stay in the know.
I drink
and I know things.
Listen to Good Morning NoCo weekdays at 6 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Here in Colorado, doing business is more than a transaction. It's a handshake, a neighbor helping a neighbor. And at Bank of Colorado, that's the way it's been since 1978. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado. And as Colorado's largest family-owned bank, we're built on personal service and a commitment to giving back. From local schools to community events, we invest where you live, work, and grow. Because this is more than business. It's home. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, this is a good one, Mike. This is a very interesting one. It's part of our top stories because there's just a lot of news, man. An attorney representing Washington Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels has informed LSU that it can no longer use his name, image, and likeness, according to an August 5th letter sent to Tigers athletic director Virge Osberry. This copy of this was obtained by ESPN. At the center of the dispute, according to a statement from Daniels' spokesperson, ESPN, is that the Tigers are allowing sophomore cornerback DJ Pickett to wear the number 5 jersey that Daniels wore when he became LSU's third Heisman Trophy winner in 2023. They did not retire this number officially. LSU did not retire this number. It's the first time a player has worn it since he left the program. This is from Daniels' spokesperson. The Daniels family is deeply disappointed and feels profoundly disrespected by LSU's decision to give Jaden's number to another player. Jaden and his family had every reason to believe that his number would remain a meaningful part of his LSU legacy and would be honored and protected in recognition of his extraordinary contributions to the university. Yeah, that's dumb. So this cornerback, Pickett, wore number 3 during his first season with the Tigers in 2025 when he was named a freshman All-American. He led LSU with 3 interceptions to go with 37 tackles and 1 sack in 524 snaps. Okay, Pickett was wearing number 5 when the Tigers opened preseason practice last week, leading to questions about why first-year LSU coach Lane Kiffin had allowed the jersey swap to happen. According to a statement, Jaden made it clear that he did not want his number given to another player, and he believed his wishes would be respected. His Heisman Trophy winning season and everything he accomplished on and off the field cemented his place in LSU history. To see his number given to another player is incredibly disappointing. It feels like a failure to honor the significance of what Jaden accomplished at LSU. Yes, Michael.
How many Broncos players have had the number 30 since Terrell Davis?
Not everything's Broncos, okay?
Well, I'm just saying, like,
not everything's Broncos.
He does not own the number 5. It was not retired by the school. You don't own that number.
The thing
that bothers
me most is saying, hey, you can't use my name, image, and likeness anymore. Well, you were paid for your name, image, and likeness, weren't you? I mean, if he played just a couple of years ago, he was in that era of name, image, and likeness. So you benefited financially. You went to a hell of a school. You played your butt off. You were great, and you got drafted because of it. You don't own the number. Yeah, Faith Texas. He doesn't own the number. LSU does. So, but they're saying now you can't use me anymore. You can't use me to promote your school. You can't play clips of me to promote your school anymore because you're not. You're allowing someone to wear my jersey number. This is a ridiculous thing. Absolutely asinine that he is doing this.
He has no legal standing whatsoever.
No.
He cannot trademark the number 5.
No, but
he cannot trademark that jersey.
Can he sue them for using his name, image, and likeness?
It's possible.
He probably can. He probably can.
I would say I don't know if he would win that case either because he got paid to go to that school.
Well, you remember the Chalmers story? Mario Chalmers, former NBA player that was trying to go after, I don't know where that case is, honestly, but was trying to, he and a bunch of players were trying to go after the NCAA for, you know, like March Madness stuff, not using their plays and some of their legendary shots. They can't use that anymore without paying them. There is something in their whatever they are, pseudo contracts that they sign that says, hey, when you're in a uniform for us, the footage that we get of you playing basketball on our court that we pay for, we will be using. Now, if we want to go do like a billboard campaign to promote the school and all that stuff, we're going to ask you. And if you say, yeah, it would cost you $5,000 for me to do that, fine. Then we will not use your name on the billboard. But we can use the footage of you playing in our jerseys and playing in our facilities, which we are paying for. We're paying for you to be here. We're giving you money. You're not only, now you're making money, but we're giving you a scholarship. We're allowing you to wear a uniform. We're allowing you to compete. We're allowing you to progress toward a professional career here, and we're helping with that. This is where I actually agree with the NCAA or Lane Kiffin and LSU. Hello, world. I agree with them. We didn't retire the number. You didn't. You're not CU. You don't just retire numbers because they were good for, they were pretty good 1 year. You don't just do that. I don't know that I don't know that I'm crazy about retiring numbers anyway. I get Heisman numbers. If you're a Heisman winner, probably should retire it. Let's go to the base of the argument. If you win a Heisman, should you get your number retired? What if you get like 10 Heisman winners? Life goes on. We're going to, 50 years from now, it's going to be a lot of people that win Heismans. So this is why I always say, like, Ring of Honor, Hall of Fame, all that stuff is great. Retiring numbers is tough for me. Unless it's just the end, like number 7, John Elway. That number, that player, bigger than Peyton Manning, bigger than Von Miller, bigger than Terrell Davis, by far bigger than those guys. That I get. The number 23 for the Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan. Like, there are certain numbers that I do say, yeah, that they're probably worth retiring. But if you as a school look at it and say, we covet our numbers, we're not just going to retire a bunch of numbers, then that's it. Sorry. And then Jaden Daniels is going to fire back and say, well, now you owe me money. You can't use my, not owe me money, but you can't use my image anymore to try and benefit and promote your school.
If Elson Hubbard stopped being a good person and lost his mind and was like, oh, you can't have to take down all the interviews I was on. Like, sorry, we own, KFKA owns that interview. KFKA owns that audio.
Right.
You agreed to do standing.
It. You agreed to do it at the time, right? Yeah. Sorry to bring you in on this, Big Hub.
We love you, Big Hub.
Yeah, it is such a wild discussion here. It's mind-numbing to me. It's whiny. It's entitled.
It says more about him than it does LSU.
Yeah, it does. And we're hurt by it. It's a number. It's an awesome honor if they decided to retire it. That's great. But if they didn't, tough. You know how many Buffs players are like kind of pissed off because the Buffs retired Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter like 5 seconds after they left the school? That sucks, and I agree with those players, but that's also just life. That's tough. They didn't retire you while you were there. When you left, the administration, the powers that be, didn't retire your number. Well, that's on them, but that's not necessarily something that you need to go to court over, a freaking number.
Yeah, dude, like, this says more about him than it does LSU. And frankly, I will be rooting heavily against the Commanders in pretty much every game because I don't like that type of person.
I mean, it definitely kind of hurt my image of him. No question about it. Just ridiculous. Just absolutely ridiculous.
I did like him, even though I hated the team. I did like him. Now I'm just like, screw this guy.
Fan.
I hope he throws bunch of ducks to the other team.
Yeah, this is just not the way to go about things. 12:42 the time, Mike. We got to jump out and take a quick break here. Speaking of Hall of Fame honors, CSU announced some new Hall of Famers for the Rams. We'll get to that coming up. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Brock Wisney, former UNC men's basketball player, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
A lot of wild stories. A lot of interesting ones, though, I'll tell you. Like that Jaden Daniels thing is fascinating. The WNBA continuing to go down this road is fascinating. But, yeah, we'll see what comes of it. We'll see where LSU is. I want to get to this to the Colorado State Athletic Department. We'll do that on the other side. They announced their 2026 Hall of Fame. And these are guys that I watched. These are guys I followed. So it's kind of cool to see them in the CSU Hall of Fame. We'll talk about that coming up next. Keep it here on The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
All championship dreams start with training camp. KFKA shines a spotlight on the Roosevelt Rough Riders live tonight at 5 p.m. Brought to you by A-Plus Heating and AC.
Hi, this is Spencer Smith with DNVR Rockies, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show on The Rocks Liquor. They got their free wine and beer tastings every single Friday, and we're getting there. Grab your beverage of choice, sit down tomorrow night, and watch the Broncos game. But stop by on The Rocks Liquor first if you care to indulge. Half a mile south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. Amazing sponsor of this show. They've been with us for a very long time. They got the drive-through, so you can just pop through and get home and gear up to watch all things Denver Broncos Friday night. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Got this from CSU yesterday. This fall, the Colorado State Athletics will add five more members to the Hall of Fame, a group of which that will be recognized during homecoming and family weekend, the weekend of October 2nd through the 4th. Football players Shaq Barrett and Michael Gallup will be honored, as will track and field competitors Alaya Pete and Cole Rockhold and volleyball player Kate Steffen. They'll be inducted during a ceremony on October 2nd at Canvas Stadium. Ceremony will start at 4 o'clock. You can get tickets if you go to CSURams.com. Shaq Barrett and Michael Gallup, though, those were two of the absolute studs. I mean, Shaq Barrett was one of the most dominant defensive players in CSU history. Had a hell of a football career, played for the Broncos, played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was awesome. I mean, he got some Super Bowl trophies. Two of them, I think, Mike. Didn't he get one with the Broncos? And wasn't he on the team with the Broncos at that point?
I believe so.
And then he got one with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was the Defensive Player of the Year in 2013. He had 20 tackles for loss and 12 sacks that season. He had a ton of huge plays. In the NFL. He became like a household name in the NFL. Michael Gallup, too, one of the greatest wide receivers in Colorado State history, and did it in just, 2 years, and had a pretty good career in the NFL, played for six seasons. He was kind of a top-tier receiver in the league. Maybe not top, but close. 12:55 the time. We'll take a short break here. Clip of the day. Big Hub, stay tuned to this one. You're going to want to hear this one. Also, a quick glance at the Pac-12. Keep it here on The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.